The Joy of Reading for Children and Adults. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, the special bonding when you read to a child and share the adventure. My guest is local pediatrician, Dr. Richard Probert, the author of two new books, Benny the Singing Bullfrog and Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle. And joining Dr. Probert is the talented illustrator, Caitlin Keene. So what's the process in creating characters like Benny the Bullfrog and the role of the artist to make the child eager to turn the next page? We'll also hear about the challenges facing parents and caregivers from this veteran pediatrician and the ongoing work at Echo Community Health. 2 Main Street is next, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Baird Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Tri-State Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. Children's books. There are thousands of them, each colorful with likable characters, usually with a message of friendship, kindness, and compassion. As a dad, I remember the joy of reading these books to my young daughter, and my mom telling me how she would read to all of us kids, purposely leaving out words to make sure we were paying attention. My guests are the collaborators on two new books for young kids, the writer, local pediatrician, Dr. Richard Probert, and illustrator, Caitlin Keene. So guys, welcome to 2 Main Street. The titles of these books certainly would appeal to youngsters. Benny the Singing Bullfrog and Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle. Interesting titles.
Yes, they both have different variations or derivations, I'm sorry. But I think the titles came to me sooner than the actual words. That was a big hurdle to pass. But the first title, Let's Walk Till We See a Turtle, I work at Echo Community Healthcare Clinic. And I was sitting in my office one day and doing some computer work. I was going to say chart work, but now it's all computers. And our social worker, Deb Atchison, who I dedicated the book to, walked by with one of the patients. A little boy, and I think he asked, well, how far are we going? And she said, well, let's walk until we see a turtle. There's a turtle sculpture right next to her office. And so that's what she gave the direction to the boy. And just as soon as she said it in pass, I said, that sounds like a title to a book.
Oh, definitely.
And so that was the germ for that book. And then I elaborated on it, took different animals that I thought would fit that motif, and that was that.
Well, how'd you link up with Caitlin?
Caitlin came to me when we moved to our new location on Chandler Street. We had been at Division Street by North Division by the McDonald's there, and about 6 years or so, 7 years ago, we moved to a new building on Chandler and Mulberry next to the adult Echo Clinic. And it was designed and decorated. And in the lobby, Caitlin had done a beautiful mural of a tree with apples and deer and some flora and fauna that gave credit to the donors and contributors. So I saw that and struck me as being very nice. Each of us providers had exam rooms, and they were bare. I thought, well, maybe we should decorate these. But being a pediatrician and knowing how kids are, I didn't really want to hang anything on the walls because I would soon see kids hanging from the walls too. So I contacted our chief operating officer and asked if I could get in contact with Caitlin. She says, oh, I know her and know her family. And so I called her and I asked about that. And she said, yeah, I can do some paintings on the walls. So each of my exam rooms, three of them, have beautiful drawings, beautiful illustrations that Caitlin did.
Let's have Caitlin talk about those illustrations that she put on the wall. Caitlin, what you put on the walls of Dr. Probert's office?
Well, we did three different exam rooms, and we kind of decided on different animal themes for them. One was a safari room, one was a rainforest room, and we did an underwater themed room as well. So we did two murals in each room.
So what's in the underwater theme? What do you have?
Oh, I have coral and all different kinds of fish and shells, seaweed.
What was the reaction from the kids?
They loved it. One of the things I suggested, and we added, and Caitlin did, we put a kind of shellac on over them, which has enabled them to last longer because the kids are always standing up on the exam table or the chairs and touching the animals or talking to the animals. But they're quite beautiful.
Now, Dr. Probert, obviously you love children. You're a pediatrician. How many years?
This will be my 38th year.
38th year. Very good. So why'd you want to write these books?
I've always had a literary bent. I've always enjoyed reading good literature, and I've always written some sort of doggerel kind of poems in the past. This is something I wanted to do, sort of a bucket list item.
Mm-hmm.
And these came to me rather easily. They're not really complicated. There's no involved plot lines. Finding Caitlin and her tremendous talent, it came together like it was meant to be.
Well, definitely the illustrations are what the kids really enjoy. And then you sneak in some words, and that's good, and they actually learn while they're enjoying the pictures here. So tell me about Benny the Singing Bullfrog, Caitlin. The design of Benny, how'd you come up with Benny?
Well, Dr. Probert and I talked about the frogs that live in his backyard. And we talked about kind of having a little Frogville-type village with the frogs personified as humans, wearing cute little outfits and living their best forest lives.
Now, Benny, interesting character here. Mm-hmm. Benny has different personas here. He starts out playing the banjo, and he's multi-talented. And then he goes into opera, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's a rock and roller, kind of a punk rocker, it looks like here, some wild hair. And I love the Elvis Benny. That's very good. And then Benny has a friend, Becky Sue. Tell me about Becky Sue, Caitlin.
Becky Sue is a very jazzy pianist that likes to sing. So Becky Sue and Benny like to team up and collaborate.
But I understand not all of the creatures at Frogville are big fans. I know some of the raccoons and the birds are not too big fans of Benny. I don't know. But Benny kind of does his own thing. I guess that's kind of one of the themes here. Be yourself, right?
Right, right.
So
actually, Benny, the genesis for that, too. My next-door neighbor has a waterfall and a little pond. And there's a bullfrog over there. And they have little kids. And I was sitting on my deck one night and evening and heard him. And the little kids come out and they try to find him and they couldn't find him. And so I said, well, why don't we have a story about Benny the Singing Bullfrog?
Now, in the other book, Let's Walk with a Turtle, more realistic drawings mm-hmm. of animals, not the whimsical ones. So was that a challenge for you, Caitlin, or did you enjoy that?
I enjoy both styles. I love doing whimsical. I love doing very, very realistic. I actually based the turtle on the cover of Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle off of my pet turtle.
Oh, well, tell me about your pet turtle. Okay.
His name is Handsome Rob, and he came to me for my 23rd birthday.
So how long have you had?
I had him for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of companion was Handsome Rob?
Oh, he was a cute little feisty guy.
Okay.
And it worked out really well. He was my live model for the cover, and
well, there you go.
That was very fun.
Okay. Now, before we talk about what goes into writing and illustrating a children's book, what characters to choose, and will kids and parents actually like it, let's learn more about the author, Dr. Richard Probert, and the illustrator, Caitlin Keene. So, Dr. Probert, are you a native of this area?
Yes, I am. I was born and raised here. Attended Vogel School and then North High School. But then I went away for college. I attended the Air Force Academy, Colorado Springs. Spent time in the Air Force, 2 tours in Vietnam. So I was absent from Evansville, living for quite a while, and then came back, of course, then to practice pediatrics in 1987.
Was this a congressional appointment to go to the Air Force Academy, right?
Correct.
And who was the congressman?
At that time, it was Representative Winfield K. Denton.
Oh, really? And the federal building is named after him.
Yes.
Winfield K. Denton. There you go. And you served in Vietnam. What was your role in Vietnam?
My role in Vietnam was I was a target officer and sort of bombardier, navigator, photographer type person. Actually, I can talk about it now, but at the time we were involved not so much with Vietnam, but with the so-called secret war in Laos. We were involved with supporting a tribe up there, the Hmong tribesmen.
Oh, yes.
Who now are heavily settled in Minnesota.
And they have an Olympic athlete.
They have an Olympic athlete, yes. I was quite not surprised, but it was interesting to see that.
And that was fun to see the whole community watching the athlete perform. That was great. Minnesota is definitely a new homeland for them.
Right. So then that was what I was involved with in Laos, mm-hmm. in Vietnam.
Now, any other medical people in your family?
My aunt was a registered nurse. She's passed away now. But no other besides her.
Did you always want to be a doctor?
Yes, I did. My uncle, who is the only other professional writer in my family, wrote not medically peer-reviewed articles, but he wrote on medical subjects, mm-hmm. for journals and publications. And he sort of fostered my interest in medicine. He was a big fan, and I became a big fan of a well-known figure at the time, Sir William Osler, a very famous physician at the turn of the 20th century. And so that sort of planted the seed early.
What was his story, this role model?
Sir William Osler actually was a Canadian man, but he came to the United States, and he was one of the founders of Johns Hopkins Medical School, and the start of modern scientific medicine in the United States. He and three other physicians. Then he later was appointed the Regius Professor of Medicine at Oxford University. He wrote quite a lot on medicine. He actually wrote the textbook on internal medicine at that time. Could be contained in one volume at that time. He was also a very famous author in other aspects of life, of philosophy and way of life of being a doctor. And he was highly into literature. He was a bibliophile. Mm-hmm. And so he was
a Renaissance guy.
He was a true Renaissance man.
Okay, Caitlin, now it's your turn. Where'd you grow up, Caitlin Keene?
I grew up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Went to school West Elementary, Mount Vernon Junior and Senior High School. And then I also went away for college. I went to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York, and studied communications design. And then moved back home to start my career.
So what was your first paying job?
My first paying job as an illustrator was I worked for the Dusty Barn Distillery. It's in between Mount Vernon and Evansville. I did all the label designs and still work on those. And then was hired at Consolidated Grain and Barge to be a graphic designer. And worked there for about 6 years, and now I'm at Slade Print doing graphic design.
Mm-hmm. So did you always want to be an artist? Did
always.
You draw as a child?
Yes.
All the time?
Constantly.
So any mentors at Mount Vernon?
My high school art teacher, Otis Huddleston, was the one that really encouraged me to pursue art as a full-time career. He was the one that suggested I apply for Pratt Institute. Mm-hmm. I don't think my parents were very happy about that, but they did support me and were really very, very supporting and encouraging of my dreams to be an artist.
So you were a young lady living in New York City.
Yes.
How was that?
It was an adventure. It was very, very fun. The campus is actually all contained on one city block, so you don't – it felt a lot smaller. It wasn't like actually being in New York, New York. But then getting to go on field trips to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Museum of Modern Art, it's just – you can't replicate that. It was such a great experience.
Well, so inspiring just mm-hmm. to walk through those
halls.
Absolutely. That's amazing. So any other artists in your family?
I have my family. Yeah, they're very creative. I have a cousin who's an interior designer. I have another cousin who was an elementary school art teacher and high school art teacher and has since retired from that and does murals. Yeah, just very creative family.
I noticed that there's a lot of demand now for muralists.
Mm-hmm.
You see them popping up in these towns, and they're becoming focal points now.
Mm-hmm.
I know Evansville has several of them now. They're large murals, definitely. And I see people, visitors, getting their picture taken in front of the mural, so that's mm-hmm. really cool. Now, coming up on 2 Main Street, the importance of reading to children. I know Dr. Prowert is nodding his head. That's very important. The reaction from these books from children and parents. What else might be in the works? And another book by Dr. Prowert, Winter's Light, A Canticle for the Desert. Not a children's book, I understand. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James, and my guests are the author and illustrator of two new children's books, pediatrician Dr. Richard Prowert and Caitlin Keene. The books, Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle and Benny the Singing Bullfrog. So guys, what were the planning sessions like? Two adults talking about a singing bullfrog. Did I get a bit silly?
Not terribly silly. We met several times at Starbucks locations around the city. I talked about sort of general idea of what I envisioned for these books, and Caitlin took those and ran with them quite well. She would come back with line drawing sketches, and then we would talk or change or make adaptations, and then she would come back with the coloration of those sketches, and then fit together. Once the whole package was done, we had to do the necessary legal stuff with copyright and ISBN numbers and that kind of thing. And then fortunately, Caitlin, by working for Slade Printing, we had a printer right in our backyard to make the final copies.
Now, Caitlin, the color in this book is very important. So was that a big process of picking the colors for the book?
Yeah, we in one of our initial planning sessions, Dr. Prowert mentioned Frogville kind of being Hobbiton-esque, like Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan. And reading the books and reading this book, just thought of these warm forest colors and was able to pick out palettes based on what you see in nature and all the rich
tones. Little cottages or little hovels in the forest at Frogville.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay, the other book, Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle. We talked about your inspiration, your pet turtle,
mm-hmm.
and the bullfrog and the neighbor's pond. So how did that book progress?
The Walk Until We See a Turtle was the first one. the wording and the animals came pretty easily because I wanted to try to get ones that would be easily identifiable by children and lent themselves to things the animals did and things that children could do to mimic the animals.
What age group are we shooting for here?
Probably in the 3 to 5 mm-hmm. area.
Pre-kindergarten?
Pre-kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't complicated multisyllabic words and pretty short, so that was more the target audience.
I know, Caitlin, you've got a lot of action in these pictures, and the kids are either laughing or they're shouting, mm-hmm. Jumping, and just there's a lot going on in these pages.
Yeah, I wanted the pages to be very dynamic with a lot of eye movement to kind of lead you across the story.
Mm-hmm. And I know the animals, are pretty realistic here. I know you didn't make them too cartoonish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love the eagle here.
Thank you.
That's a really good one. Let's fly like an eagle. And, of course, in the back of Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle, there's a dedication here, Dr. Probert, to your wife, Sheila, and to Deb Atchison, both walkers and both lovers of children.
Yes, yes. Well, as I mentioned, Deb Atchison was the social worker who basically gave me the title. She has since retired from ECHO, but she was a long-time, very beloved social worker at ECHO. And my wife, Sheila, sort of predates my interest in pediatrics. She was a pediatric oncology nurse at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, where I came to do my internship and residency. So that's how we met on the oncology ward there at the hospital.
Well, tell me about your family.
As I mentioned, my wife, Sheila, we met there at Madison, Wisconsin. She is a true farm girl. Her family has over, 150, maybe 175-year-old farm in Wisconsin, dairy farm. Her father's retired now. But then we started out there, and we came to Evansville a little bit later, two children. My daughter is a second-grade teacher in Baltimore, inner-city Baltimore, which is a whole other broadcast. And then my son is a engineer with 3M in mm-hmm. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, did Sheila take you on a tour of the dairy farm when you guys first met?
Yes, we did. It's interesting because being a city boy and having a dairy farm thrust upon me was a little different. And I know they probably laughed behind my back at certain reactions I had and certain questions about the dairy farm and how it operated. But I'll never forget several occasions I tried to help out in the barn. And at that time, her father didn't have an automated pipeline. It was all done by hand. And I thought I was in good shape, but I soon learned that I was not in good shape for milking cows.
Well, how long did it take you to get the rhythm going there, Doctor?
Well, I don't think I don't think they thought I ever got the rhythm. But it was an interesting time. And my kids, after we were married and had kids and went to the farm, they just loved being on the dairy farm and the animals and the green grass and the pasture. And it was quite a delight for them.
Now, you also wrote a religious work for adults, Winter's Light, A Canticle for the Desert. And Caitlin, you were the book designer for
mm-hmm,
that, too.
Correct.
So you guys collaborated on that. So tell me about that book, Dr. Probert.
That book has a genesis that goes back years and years. I had written ideas and little poems and haiku mm-hmm. of that nature for years, and I finally tried to coalesce it into a book and came upon the idea of using a meditation-type devotional book timed around the winter, the 13 weeks between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And I, as I mentioned, I worked on this for a long time. I kept writing it and rewriting it and changing things. And finally, one day, I think my wife said, "Will you ever do anything with that book, that book that you have been working on?" I said, "Yeah, I think I should." And so got it together, made the final touches, and then contacted Caitlin again and got it done.
So what was your design thought on that book?
Well, I was just trying to really embrace the poetry and the words and make it reflect, you know, the colder winter time, but still be very approachable and easy to read, just with font choices and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this digital world, there still remains a special bond of an adult reading to a child. I guess you both would agree with that. There's that certain bonding there.
Oh, yes. We push that at Echo because it seems like the last several years or even more than that in pediatric practice, we see more problems related to school and behavior and learning. So we're really advocates for reading and speech development. Human contact, face-to-face interaction, reading, dialogue, and trying to move away from the digital screen-type activities for children.
Because that's always going to be there. You've got to have this other outlet. Now, tell me about the mission of ECHO, Dr. Probert.
ECHO is a community-based healthcare facility for all comers. The mission is to provide excellent care that's affordable, accessible, and appropriate to all individuals, whether they're insured or not, regardless of their immigration status. We provide in pediatrics comprehensive care, immunizations, well child checkups. We do make referrals to outside agencies and providers for more specialized care. We have in pediatrics, and I think in the adult side too, a very team-oriented approach. Providers, both doctors and nurse practitioners, work hand-in-hand with nurses, administrative staff, receptionists. I can't speak for the adults, but in pediatrics, it's more like a family business.
And your clients, it's international feel there, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. We have quite a good representation of Hispanic kids, Marshallese children, immigrants from Eastern Europe, Russia, China. So, yes, it's a really diverse population, African-American children and families. It's quite diverse.
How has COVID-19 affected the work at ECHO?
From the start, we were very guarded about our approach. We wanted to be very safe for not only the children and their parents and families, but also the staff. So we've been very mindful of the CDC recommendations, guidelines. We've followed those to a T. When the vaccination was available, we advocated that strongly, although now we can't, most of our population are too young to get the vaccine. But certainly our staff, our parents, we've been strong advocates for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Caitlin, we were talking about children's books. Remember any of your favorite children's books?
Oh, yes. Some of my favorites growing up were The Rainbow Fish and Stella Luna. And I forget.
I haven't have a copy of The Rainbow Fish here.
Yes.
Does that look familiar?
Yes, absolutely.
That was one of my daughter's favorite books, too, The Rainbow Fish. And apparently there was like a series of them, too.
Yes.
Yes. And this was, I think this was number two in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sparkles in them, too.
Yes.
That's
so much fun.
Definitely. And I know one of the other books she liked The Grumpy Bunny. And she liked the Franklin Turtle books, too. She loved about Franklin and the fly pie and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd go, gross. So,
isn't
anyway.
There one where he roller skated?
Oh, yeah. He does
like
all
I
kinds
remember
of stuff.
That.
And he has all kinds of forest friends,
yes.
too, that they get into all kinds of mischief. any books that you remember growing up at Dr. Probert that you enjoyed as a child? We're really going back a little bit.
Say, you're really testing the memory.
That's like
here.
I was trying to remember some of the ones that I enjoyed.
I don't have any vivid recollection of books like that, but I do remember being surrounded by books most of my life. As I mentioned, my uncle was a writer. Sort of interesting story, too. When I was a kid, we used to take family vacations every summer to my dad's parents in Ohio. This was before the interstates were quite prevalent. And he had one of the first Volkswagen Beetles in town. And, of course, now families transport themselves with vans. But I remember his edict was, to me and my brother, we could either take one toy or one book. That was the only space we had. So I tended to take a book because I knew that would last me longer than a toy.
Mm-hmm. What did you like to read?
I liked history a lot. Of course, reading about the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, of course, who was a great writer in his own right. Later on, too, as far as children's books, more of a grown-up children's books, I loved and I still... C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, and all of his other works, it's been an inspiration for me.
I like in the book, Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle, the final page here is, and let's hug when we see each other, and that's a good closer there. Did you enjoy doing that?
I did. The little red-haired girl is actually based on my little sister as a child.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Does she know that?
She does know that.
Of course she does. And, of course, we have butterflies in the background. It's very cute. Okay. Now, you're talking about your wife, who was a nurse. Did she offer any constructive criticism in these books?
Yes, she did. She looked at it primarily from a totally objective viewpoint, a mother reading, and she wanted things to be concise and clear and not have any double meanings.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to make sure that it would be easy for it to be introduced to a child.
We only have so many words in these books, so each word has to be very carefully selected and meaningful. Now, we're talking to Dr. Richard Probert and Caitlin Keene, collaborators on these two new children's books. Now, I understand you got the kind of the pediatrics bug working at the Children's National Medical Center in Washington.
Yes, I went to medical school at George Washington University Medical School in Washington, D.C. And as part of the rotations and part of the affiliate hospitals was the Children's National Medical Center there. Wonderful institution, top-notch doctors from really all across the country. And it was... a very inspirational experience for me.
You remember some of those first patients?
Yes, a lot of the patients at that time, there were three main problems or diagnoses in pediatrics. Cystic fibrosis was very prevalent and deadly. Cancer, leukemias were very prevalent. Both of which we've made tremendous strides in since the 80s. And then the third was infectious diseases. Filled the wards with a lot of children with meningitis, pneumonias. So those were the sort of the big three that I'm happy to say nationwide we have made great strides in treating all three of those.
Now back locally here, what are some of the common problems you see among children?
As I mentioned earlier, I think pediatrics has changed in the time that I've been in it, and we see a lot more behavioral, social, school, psychological issues. It's quite widespread, and it starts at such an early age. I've really been struck by how those things have seeped into preschool children diagnoses.
And sometimes those are more baffling than diseases.
I have to agree. With diseases, especially infectious diseases, if you look at the advent of just in my lifetime with vaccines for some of these diseases that when I was early in my practice, I saw deaths, significant infant morbidity and mortality, and the vaccines were introduced, and it's almost like these disease prevalences dropped off the cliff. They're just down to almost zero. Mm-hmm. But with behavioral, psychological, school things, they don't respond, or they don't have any magic bullet like a vaccine, and they're so ingrained into our social, economic, educational life that to correct them is like they say, you know, you don't turn around the Queen Mary in a, you know, with a little rowboat.
So it's a challenge. Definitely, everybody knows that. Now, do you do any mission work?
Yes, I did. Not recently, but when I was younger, through St. Mary's at the time, now St. Vincent's, we had a program of missions to the island of Jamaica. And I was privileged to go there twice. I think they went there several other times. And Deaconess at the time also had a program for that too. But I was with St. Mary's at the time. And that was eye-opening and very challenging, inspirational. And I think other people say too, a lot of this mission work is the person who's doing the mission gets as sometimes as much benefit as the people you see.
So what were the problems that you noticed in Jamaica?
In Jamaica, infectious disease was quite a big problem. They also had in Jamaica, it was interesting, had a lot of pediatric trauma, motor vehicle accidents, children, of course, walking everywhere and being struck by automobiles, a lot of trauma, broken bones.
Were you in Kingston then?
No, we were in a hospital in St. Anne's Bay, small sort of village away from the big city.
But enough traffic where
enough traffic around the main roads there that children would be struck.
And, of course, the roads sometimes were pretty treacherous.
The roads were treacherous. The other problem there in Jamaica at that time was obstetrics and neonatal disease. Many times, at the St. Anne's Bay Hospital, you would have two women who were in the process of delivering or had delivered to a bed. So crowded conditions, equipment and medications were in short supply. So it led to a lot of problems.
Now, coming up, we're going to talk to Caitlin Keene and Dr. Perbert about their books, where you can find them, the Benny the Singing Frog and Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle. Where can you get these books? Also, the takeaway from this one-on-one with a child, sharing a story, and then tackling the questions that hopefully follow after you read a story to a child. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. If you are just joining us, my guests are Dr. Richard Probert and illustrator Caitlin Keene, here to talk about two new children's books, Benny the Singing Bullfrog and Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle. So guys, where can we find these books?
Backing up a little bit, these books are self-published. I've been the author, Caitlin's been the illustrator. I've been the publisher, distributor. Caitlin and I have been the salespeople, so it's a very rudimentary operation. One bookstore that we've used and has sold these has been Blue Stocking Social Bookstore on Weinbach. It's right just south of the intersection with Lincoln by the University of Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
It's a local bookstore, family operated, very nice, a very wide selection of books and art supplies and other things, puzzles.
So is that a hangout of yours, Caitlin?
It is, it is. I attend a couple of the book clubs that they host and frequently buy art supplies and books from them. It's really nice to have a locally owned neighborhood bookstore.
Is it a hangout for artists?
Yeah, absolutely. They do an artist of the month every month and display local artist works and for sale, and it's great.
So what's been the reaction so far from parents and the kids to these books?
They've liked them. I haven't had any other comments other than that they're very cute. They love the illustrations. I mean, they just go gaga over the illustrations, especially Benny the Singing Bullfrog is very lushly illustrated. So they have been very well received of the people that I've talked with.
Any more in the works, guys?
Perhaps. These books came to me sort of out of the blue. I didn't really set out to pick these topics or write about these. Hopefully we'll see. I do have a collection of some poems and haiku I've written. I'm going to try to collate and get together and consult Caitlin again for the design of that. But
explain haiku to our listeners.
Well, haiku is a old Japanese form of poetry that is has sometimes set number of syllables per line, and although that is variable, but it tries to put in the most succinct manner possible a thought, and sometimes the idea is to have the first two lines create a scene and the third line create a counterpoint to that scene. I like it because all along my literary bent has been concision and precise language. Hemingway is another one of my favorite authors. So I've tried to distill thoughts into as few words as possible.
That'd be a good challenge for you, wouldn't it, Caitlin, to illustrate some haiku then?
Yeah, absolutely.
The thoughts. Bring those to life. So, okay, any thoughts of translating these books into Spanish, Dr. Prober?
That's an idea. I hadn't really pursued that with any vigor, but that's
definitely... I think it could be easily done.
Certainly. And we have at Echo, we're blessed to have... interpreters, translators who work with us. So I certainly could ask them to give us a hand.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at these books, they do seem simple on the surface, but I know each word and phrase is a labor of love. So getting across a message in 25 to 30 words, that can be a challenge.
Yes, it is. I think the walk till we see a turtle probably has more of a life message than the Benny the Singing Bullfrog. Benny is more of a whimsical exercise. But yes, we tried to focus on that in the Walk to See a Turtle book on children expressing themselves, being themselves, being active. I might add, this book has actually been chosen by the local commission to have be illustrated in a park. I don't know if you've Garvin Park has one of these trail set up where they've taken books and they've put them on big metal plates and signs and put them in playgrounds. So this book, I think, in the fall, is scheduled to be in Aiken Park here locally.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Should be.
So, Caitlin, are you working on any big projects right now? Like painting murals on a side of a building or something?
No murals right now. Just my work at Slade Print. My biggest project, I have been helping out with the Deaconess Aquatic Center. So that's been a lot of time. Yeah.
So it's moving right along.
It is.
So what are you doing there?
I helped work on a lot of the designs for the exterior graphics and the interior. It was a big collaboration between Slade Print and Hafer Design and Architecture. And it's really come along. It's looking really good.
So who are some of your favorite artists?
some of my favorite artists. I've always been very, very a huge fan of Alphonse Mucha and the Art Deco style. I love the details and the way that they do hair and flowers and kind of incorporate nature with these beautiful designs.
Have you been able to travel much and observe art around the world?
I have. I got to go a couple years back. My sister and I did a European vacation and went to London and Paris and Rome and got to see beautiful art and statues.
Very inspirational.
Very inspirational.
I know my daughter, she taught art history at the University of Evansville, so mm-hmm. she's done a lot of traveling and she's drug me into museums. Well, basically the gift shops too of museums. Mm-hmm. That's a big draw to my wife and my daughter. Got to go to those gift shops. So anyway, that's wonderful. So nothing really in the works right now?
No, nothing really sitting on the front burner. Other than this, if I get time to get these poems and haiku together, probably I'll need my wife's prodding again to get that to fruition.
So, what is the message here from these books? You said let's walk with it until we see a turtle. It ends with a hug. So, what's the general feeling here that you're trying to get across?
I think getting back to the children and the diversity of the children, different walks of life, different experiences, but also enjoying being out, exercising, enjoying animals, and then bottom line too, enjoying each other and showing love and respect for others.
And of course, Caitlin, as your role as an illustrator is to make these words come alive and make it attractive for a child to want to turn the pages. So that is your responsibility.
Yes.
So have you shown this? Do you get any feedback from children? Like what really? Are this basically they all like animals? Is that it?
I think they like the animals. I've had various comments about the Benny the Bullfrog. They pick out the little details that Caitlin's put in these illustrations, and they point to those, and they comment about, oh, look at that. There's a little raccoon, or there's a little bird, or they'll make a comment about the facial expression or the costumes of Benny. And I have my own laboratory and my three-year-old grandson, and he's very observant of the details and things, and he asks, well, what's that, or what's that guy doing, that kind of thing.
So, yeah, it's all about the details, isn't it, Caitlin?
Yes. I've gotten videos sent to me from my friends reading to their kids, and the kids making all the animal noises from Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle, which is really, really fun and very cute.
Even the what the children are wearing is interesting too, and I'm sure they'll pick those out too, the different colors and what shoes they're wearing, and just the little details are really cool here.
Thank you. I got to practice being an amateur fashion designer for that one.
Well, there you go. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. My guests have been Dr. James Probert and Caitlin Keene. Thanks for being my guests and sharing the world here of the Searching for a Turtle and Benny's World in Frogville. That's he's quite the character. I'm David James, and this is Two Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management. Again, the books are Benny the Singing Bullfrog and Let's Walk Until We See a Turtle. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There's another children's book by a local team of author and illustrator that's also getting a lot of attention. It's called The Very Anxious Potato, written by Andy Oram and illustrated by Tori Richardson, both Princeton, Indiana natives. This book gives families a window to talk about anxiety with their children. Andy named the title character after his young daughter, Lyra. Now, in the book, the reader follows Lyra as she deals with some real-life situations which may cause children to become anxious. Here's part of my conversation with Andy Oram on Two Main Street.
Well, my big hope for the book is as they go through it, the children can see that their anxieties aren't always as bad as maybe they seem to be. Like, you know, the first day of school, I mean, that makes everybody anxious. I remember I remember in high school, I was terrified, like at lunch, I didn't know who to sit with, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, I think that showing through media a way that you can get over it helps out a lot. You know, being able to relate to a character or look up to something else can get you through it. And really in the end of it, at the end of the book, I have a couple questions that parents can kind of ask their kid about anxiety, and hopefully that it can open up conversations between kids and their parents on anxiety, to kind of help curb some of that anxious potato behavior as a child. Let's go over some of those. They're just four really basic questions, like I said, just to get the ball rolling. I'm not a licensed therapist, so you know, just, do you ever feel scared, worried, or sad? What makes you feel this way? What situations make you feel anxious? And what are some ways that we can cope with these anxieties? And I think that if parents can talk to their kids and use this as a base, I think it can, you know, help kids grow up to be healthy, you know, emotionally mature young kid, or, you know, adolescents and then adults.
Here's an update on the very anxious potato. The author, Andy Oram, tells me the reaction has been very positive, ! With numerous positive reviews on Amazon. One reader said the book is especially helpful for a child headed off to school for the very first time, and noted it would be really helpful to the children of a single dad. Is there a sequel in the works? Andy says look for the very hot potato in the future. As for Andy's daughter, Lyra, she's just a toddler now, but maybe one day Lyra will be able to read the potato books to her children. I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street.